Exodus this morning, Exodus the third chapter. Exodus chapter 3. I'd like for us to read verse number 1 and 2, and then we will pray. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The title of my sermon this morning is Revive My Time in Your Word, O Lord. Revive my time in your word, O Lord. Verse 1 reads, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we ask that as we draw nigh to you, that you will draw nigh to us. O God, teach us from your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Back in chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, we noted last Sunday morning, we noted Israel's prayer, or should I say their prayers? Israel's prayers that reached God. And we answered the question, why did their prayers reach God? Well, we stressed the fact of fervency, that they cried out unto God. And the Bible teaches us that their prayers came up unto God. And we stress the importance of fervency as we pray. We need to pray with fervency. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The reading of the scriptures is another part of our devotional life. And it is an area that all of us need revival in, because we commune with God in prayer and God speaks to us in and through his precious word. God's word is truth. God's word is life-giving. God's word is powerful. God's word is full of wisdom. God's word is relevant. God speaks to you and I in and through the word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible teaches us the word of God is that more sure word. So all that God has for us and all that God wants us to know is contained within the scriptures, from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. God reveals his will, God reveals his mind. And it's in and through the precious word of God that God not only revives us, God directs us. All of us can be guilty of going through the motions of having a devotional time. Spending time in prayer, spending time reading the scriptures. But yet be guilty of little effect. And this morning I'd like for us to note here in Exodus chapter 3, some principles that might be helpful in making sure that we are in a position to hear God clearly, let alone hear from God, as opposed to just going through the motions of reading the scriptures. We will see that Moses heard God loud and clear. And all that was left for him to do was to obey. Revive my time in your word, O Lord. We can be revived in our prayer time by praying with fervency in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's note this morning some principles that might be helpful. Not might be, will be, I should say, will be helpful. In reviving our time in the Word, so that we will be in a position, condition, to not only hear God, but hear God with clarity. And that's what we need today. Here in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse number 1, it pretty much sums up 40 years of apprenticeship for Moses on the backside of the desert. He left Egypt at the age of 40. And verse number 1 here is a summary of some 40 years that Moses spends there in Midian, as the Bible terms the backside of the desert. His ability to hear with clarity was developed during this time. Let's note carefully here in verse number 1 some principles that will be helpful for you and I even today, that we might not only hear from God and hear with clarity, as opposed to just going through the motions of reading our Bible. Note there first and foremost here in verse number 1, note the word kept. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Moses, for some 40 years, remained under the authority of his father-in-law. That would not have been easy. He remained under the authority of his father-in-law, Jethro, for some 40 years. Moses learned to appreciate authority. Moses learned to be under authority. And the Bible teaches us that he kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. The Word of God teaches us that all authority stems back to God. And if we are to hear from God, if we are to hear from God in his word with clarity and understanding, we need to make sure that we have a spirit that honors and respects authority. Ultimately, God's authority. See, Moses remained under the authority of his father-in-law for some 40 years. Moses had a submissive spirit. And this was developed during this period of time. And until we learn and choose to be submissive to the authorities within our lives, we are far from knowing God intimately and hearing from God, because God is the ultimate authority. And when you and I fail to submit to the authorities that be, how will we ever submit to God's ultimate authority? Until we learn and choose to be submissive, there will be little that God can do through us, because we're not prepared to come under authority. I think of the centurion who had that sickly servant. He said, "I have a servant under my authority, but I am under authority," he said to the Lord Jesus. "I understand authority," he said. "I have one under my authority that's not well, and I, for one, as a Roman centurion, am under authority, and I appeal to your authority to heal my servant." And God honored that respect for authority and that faith that that centurion had. And could it be that you and I are not hearing God with clarity because we have an authority problem? The Bible calls that pride. Pride is the unwillingness to be led. And this unwillingness to be led due to pride is crippling to spiritual advancement. See, Moses could hear God loud and clear because Moses was a man that understood authority, and he was prepared to come under authority. He was prepared to remain under the authority of his father-in-law, not for a week, a year, 40 years. That's a long time. That's worthy of a medal, is it not? And to remain under the authority of your father-in-law. It'd be a greater achievement if it was your mother-in-law, but <That's right. laughs> 40 years. Moses learnt what it meant to remain under authority. And beloved, if you want to hear from God, if you want God to revive your personal walk with Him, then you need to be prepared to stay under authority. We see that in Moses. But also note then verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 3 that he kept the flock of Jethro. And note the next word, key word, led. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. He remained under the authority of his father-in-law. But also we note in this verse that Moses was prepared to fulfill a very humble role in caring for sheep. Now, it was common for this responsibility or this task to be done by young children. But remember, when Moses fled Egypt, he was 40 years of age, according to Acts chapter 7. He's a mature man. And this mature man is prepared to care for sheep. In fact, not his sheep, his father-in-law's sheep, in the backside of the desert. This would have been humbling. This would have been very humbling for Moses. Remember where Moses came from? Pharaoh's adopted son. Had the world at his fingertips. And now we find him caring for his father-in-law's sheep. Humbling. Humbling. Moses not only learnt to remain under authority and the importance of authority, we see that Moses was humbled. Are we walking humbly with our God? See, God expects humility. Note there in the book of Micah, chapter 6, please. Micah, chapter 6. In verse number 8. Micah, chapter 6, verse number 8. Just before the book Nahum. If you're in Matthew, you've gone too far. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, the Bible reads, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do what? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." See, Moses learned humility there on the backside of the desert. He was prepared to be humble. He was prepared to remain under authority, and he was humbled by this task, this responsibility that his father-in-law gave him. What are you willing to do? There's a lot that we're not willing to do. What are you willing to do? Because that could be the very means by which God will humble you. No doubt Moses needed some humbling. Back there in Egypt, he took matters into his own hands and killed that Egyptian. That was a very prideful deed. You might say, well, he had some warrant. I guess he did in a sense. But who was he? Who was he to bring about justice amongst his people? So God had to humble Moses. And could it be that you and I are not hearing God with clarity because we're not only struggling with authority, which is ultimately a struggle with God's authority, but could there be a lack of humility issue? See, Moses was humbled. He led the flock, the Bible teaches us, to the backside of the desert. Now, the word backside here means behind. I think you've worked that out. So it probably means that he looked after his flock in obscurity, not out where he could be noticed and commended. And Moses was prepared to do that. He kept, he led, he remained under authority, he was prepared to fulfill a very humble role. Humility. That's what God requires of you and I. Because if the truth be known, there are some things that you will not do because of your pride. But if you and I are truly humble, then we will say, well, I've never done that before, but I'll have a go. I've never cleaned a toilet, but I'll have a go. God's toilet, God's house, I'll have a go. I've never mopped the floor in my life, but I'll have a go. Because if the truth be known, there are some vocations, occupations that many of us will not do because we are too proud. Am I right or not? We would think it's below us. And if you and I are to hear from God with clarity, there needs to be humility. God requires humility to walk humbly with thy God. But also note there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, note the word came. And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The mountain of God. Horeb. This is in reference to Mount Sinai. Obviously, Moses was caring for his father-in-law's sheep around the corner from Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is known as the Mount of God or Horeb when you compare scripture with scripture. This is where man met with God. We will see this is where God and Moses meet. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 19, it's on this same mount that Elijah met God. And we see that Moses is within range of spiritual reception because the Bible teaches us he came to the Mount of God. He was within what we refer to as blessings range. And this would be the equivalent of Adam and Eve remaining in the Garden of Eden, where God came down to commune with them, Genesis chapter 3. Let me ask you this morning, are you within blessings range? Are you within range of spiritual reception? We all like good reception, do we not? And I know some of you are a bit concerned about camp next week. Will there be good reception? Well, I'm told there will be good reception at camp. It's not that far out of the boonies. Yes, it's in a national park, but I've been told there is still good reception. So she'll be right, mate. And we see that Moses heard from God because Moses was not only one that learnt to remain under authority, he allowed humility to be cultivated in his life by caring for somebody else's sheep. But the Bible teaches us that he was also in range of God. He came to the Mount of God. He was there at the foot of Mount Sinai. And let me ask you this morning, how can we possibly expect to hear from God? How can we possibly expect to hear from God when we are out of range? When we are not where we should be? Let me tell you why many Christians are not hearing from God right now, because they're not in church. They're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. They're out of range. There's no reception. See? And many of God's people are not hearing from God because they're not spending time with God. They're not spending daily time in the Word of God. It is not a part of their regular routine, and therefore they're out of range. The network's there. God's ever present. But we're out of range. Spending time with spiritual Christians is being in range in order to hear from God. Obedience to the clear teachings of the Scriptures is remaining in range of God. And I like to think that you and I that are able to be in camp next week, we will be in range to hear from God, because we've come away for a little. See, many of God's people are out of spiritual blessings range. They are like that prodigal son who deliberately moved out of God's range of blessing. He removed himself out from his father's authority and decided, I'm going to do my own thing. And he reaped consequences. But we see here that Moses was spiritually positioned to hear God and to hear God very clearly, because the Bible teaches us that he came to the Mount of God, even to Horeb. This would have been a very quiet, still place. Alone, but not alone from God. Moses did not have to combat any distractions. See, Moses was prepared to be a nobody and to be around nobody. And this fine-tuned him spiritually so that his spiritual senses would be fully functional in hearing God. He remained under authority, he was humbled, and he came to the Mount of God. He was positionally in place. And could it be that is the reason why many of us are not hearing from God, and why some of us need to be revived in our devotional life? Because we are not positionally, we are not in the position that God has for us. God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And God said to Adam and Eve, everything that you'll possibly need is here in the garden. Stay in the garden. This is the Garden of Eden of God. And if we position ourselves within the garden of God's Word, we are within spiritual range. Very good reception. Very good. Excellent reception. Moses learnt to remain under authority. Moses was humble. Moses came to the Mount of God. He was positioned correctly So therefore, God appears unto him. Once again, back there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible reads, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire." That phrase, or that term, angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses, is a familiar term within the pages of the Old Testament scriptures. And it refers to a manifestation of God within the Old Testament before man. Not an angel of the Lord. Most of the time it's in reference to a manifestation of God, what we call a theophany, within the Old Testament. So God appears unto Moses. He is positioned correctly. He is humble. He is under authority. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses, the Bible teaches us, in a flame of fire, and note, out of the midst of a bush. Now, being on the backside of the desert, it was very dry, it was very hot. Southern Israel is very dry, very hot. There's nothing like it. You've just got to experience it one day. If the Lord tarries his return. 2024. Make a note of that. April 2024. We'll take you to the backside of the desert. We'll show you what it was like. Not to Mount Sinai, but we'll take you to the desert anyway. And because it was so dry and so hot, it was quite common for a bush to just inflame. Very common. To have a bush light up. Very common to ignite because of the extreme heat. And the Bible teaches us, while Moses was there, came to the mount of God, even Horeb, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked. He saw from a distance something that stood out to him. It wasn't common, but it happened. And that southern part of Israel, down the bottom there, Egypt, can get so hot that a dried up bush could just ignite into fire. Didn't happen all the time, but it happened. He saw this flame of fire in the midst of a bush. He saw from a distance something that stood out to him. And I thought about the fact that when God speaks to us through his word, is it not just like that burning bush? Where a portion of God's word just stands out, leaps out, so to speak. And Moses, as he turned aside, the Bible teaches us, he looked a little bit more closely. He noted there at the end of verse 2, it reads, "The bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. This burning bush stood out, it was on fire, but it was not consumed by the fire. The flames were no doubt in the bush and part of the bush, but the bush wasn't burning up or withering away. And I'm mindful of the fact that when the Word of God leaps out from its pages into our hearts, there is nothing to be afraid of. But we, like Moses of old, need to turn aside and look a little bit more closely. We need to wonder as to why is this bush alight but not being consumed? Wonder and ponder. So Moses deliberately made his way closer towards the burning bush. He made a decision to examine, to draw closer to this unusual event before him. Verse number 3, it talks about, or refers to it as being a great sight. And see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And I'm mindful of the fact that as you and I are under authority and we have hearts that are truly humble before God and we position ourselves within blessings range, God will speak. And just like that burning bush stood out, God will have his word leap out before us. I trust you've had that experience. I trust you have it on a daily basis. When you spend time in the Word of God and God has spoken, this bush is alight and it grabs your attention. There were many bushes out there in the desert. But this bush was unique. It was alight. It was on fire. It stood out to Moses. And Moses did the responsible thing. He turned aside. He asked the question, why is this bush not being consumed by that fire? And I wonder, as you and I read the scriptures, and God reveals to us a burning bush, the Word of God leaps out, are we prepared to, like Moses of old, to turn aside and examine a little bit more closely? What is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to tell me? See, God had a purpose in this bush that was not consumed. God is about to speak to Moses from the burning bush. Am I right or not? And God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me from the burning bush of the Word of God. And if we are positioned correctly, if our hearts are humble, if we are under God's authority, we have a wonderful opportunity to hear something special from God. And what God was about to tell Moses is something very special, unique, only for Moses. See, that's why God called Moses by his name. At the end of verse number 4, he said, Moses, Moses. God didn't say, hey, you. Yes, you. Looking after that bunch of sheep there in the back, yes, you, I'm talking to you. Moses. And just in case you didn't hear, Moses. God spoke to him personally. And isn't it wonderful that God speaks to us personally from the Word of God? There were plenty of bushes in the desert. But this bush was unique. It was on fire. It wasn't consumed. It stood out. Now Moses could have ignored it, because as I said, it wasn't that uncommon for a bush to just ignite with the extreme heat of the desert. But because he turned aside and looked a little bit more closely, he noticed there's something unique about this bush, because it's not been consumed. See, God spoke to Moses. God called Moses out of the midst of a burning bush. And as Moses drew nigh to God, who spoke to him out of the burning bush, God was able to direct him. And beloved, for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are so privileged to have within our possession the Word of God. The inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And if you have received Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the presence of God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides us into truth and understanding. And my friend, if you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I invite you to receive Him as your Savior and Lord of your life. And in doing so, you will be born again by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will indwell you and enable you to comprehend and understand the Word of God. Because this is the Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God. And God speaks in and through His Word. And that burning bush stood out to Moses. And as you and I have a right spirit before God, that we are prepared to remain under authority, and our hearts are humble before God, and we are positioned to the best of our knowledge and ability, we are where God would have us to be. We are in the setting to hear from God. That was Moses. God spoke to him. And verse number 4 teaches us, God called him out of the midst of the bush. But see, Moses could have ignored that burning bush, because as I've said a number of times, that it wasn't totally uncommon. He could have just said, oh, that's a shame, that little bush over there got too warm and it's on fire. It's not going to cause much harm. Could have ignored it. But because he looked and he noted, hey, there's something different about this burning bush. It's not consumed. So he turned aside to investigate. And beloved, as God speaks to us from His Word, and all of a sudden we find, as we read the Scriptures, a burning bush If we would dare to just turn aside and just wonder and ponder, God will direct very personally. Because God speaks in and through the Word of God. In the book of James, chapter 1, please, I'll close with this. James chapter 1, verse 25. How Moses turned aside and studied carefully, gazed upon with intensity and wonder and curiosity as to why that bush was alight but yet not consumed. Note here in James chapter 1, verse 25 that, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this is in reference to God's word, whosoever looketh into, to study with intensity, not to glance over, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So he that ponders upon the word of God, ponders upon that burning bush, and turns aside and focuses upon that burning bush. What is the purpose of this burning bush? What is God trying to say to me? What is God trying to teach me? And then when God speaks and calls us by name, Moses, Moses, and we obey, then God will bless. See, God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. This is God's burning bush. God speaks to us through the word of God. But many of us are not hearing God. We're not seeing the wonder of a burning bush. That would have been great to see. A bush alight without being consumed. But I'm telling you, it's all here. This is God's burning bush. It's on fire, but it cannot be consumed. It's indestructible. It's God's word. And I'd like to think that you and I, as we endeavor to ask God for revival, that we would ask God, God, revive my prayer time, revive my time in your word. And I can't help but think that Moses heard God with clarity. There was no question as to what God had for Moses, because Moses was in a right frame of mind. He was under authority, he was humble, he was positioned. And these are keys, absolute essentials. If you and I are to hear from God, if God is to reveal a burning bush in and through the Scriptures, you and I need to be people that gladly remain under His authority, people that are walking humbly with God, and men and women that are positioned exactly where God has us. Otherwise, how can we expect to hear from God? O Lord, revive my time in your word. Authority, Humility, position. Because all the above was in order. Took 40 years. Moses was ready to receive what God had for him. And may God speak to you. May God speak to me in and through His Word on a daily basis. When was the last time you could say, wow, I had a great time reading my Bible this morning? I saw a burning bush. The Word of God just leapt out. Just jumped off the pages. And it caused me to ponder, caused me to wonder as to why. Lord, why are you speaking to me from here? To what end? And God has always an end. And if you are under authority, if you are humble before God, if you are positioned correctly, then you and I are in position, for a better word, to hear God with clarity. And when we hear God with clarity, then we can obey Him and be blessed, as James 1:25 teaches. Let's close our service in prayer.